Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have Dr. Romero, Eric Romero. He's a PhD and he's the author of Complete Outside the Box, The Unconventional Way to Beat the Competition. Today our topic is going to be motivating by matching employees to jobs. Dr. Romero, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again. Glad to be here.
Thanks. I guess you have in your description, you have like three topics, categories, and then you have some tips at the very end. And what we do is kind of tell us the basis of, I guess, a summary on how to really motivate employees to match the jobs at the end. Necessarily, you can't put an accountant in a sales position. However, you have some people in accounting who are really good, talented people can be in sales. But kind of tell us the basis of your paper regarding motivating employees to match the jobs they in.
Well, I wrote this article because I have, that you can find on Compete Outside the Box, by the way, it's free. The reason I wrote the article is because there's a big misconception about what motivation is. So I wanted to help people understand what motivation is and how to get it. So first let me talk about what motivation is. Motivation is an internal drive, an internal need, a drive to meet some kind of a need that an individual has. So it's something mm-hmm. that only the individual can create motivation. Only the individual can be motivated by themselves. Somebody else cannot motivate you. Somebody else can make you do something, but that's not necessarily motivation. And now, at least not the kind of motivation that you would want to have in terms of having someone who can work on their own and do a job and be excited about it and do the best that they can. If somebody's mm-hmm. making you do something, then they have to be pushing you all the time. Think of a drill sergeant. You ever see that movie Full Metal Jacket where he's yelling and he's literally pushing one of the people or some of the recruits on occasion to get them to do what he wants. That's not really motivating. That's, in a certain extent, it's coercion. So that's not the type of environment that you want to create in the workplace. So the best thing that you can do is be real careful in terms of who you select so that you select the people who are motivated to do the work that you want them to do, rather than choosing people who are not suited for the job and then pushing them, as what most people try to do. They try to push people to do what they want. So it requires a lot of managerial effort to push people to do what you want, similar to what the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket had to do, or drill sergeants in general have to do. There's a lot of managerial effort. So that's the reason that I wrote the article.
Well, when you have a drill sergeant, is it the sense of being in control? You're trying to really control. You want to make them do it, but you really want to exercise control. And some managers want to exercise control because they can't express themselves any other way to get it done. In particular, I had an incident with a manager at one place, and he's like a dictatorship. And it is a matter of he wants to control. But what I noticed, what he did, if he didn't do that, then trying to exercise that forcible control, then when he walks out of the place, then the troops or the salespeople don't know what to do. They get lost. If he takes godly 2 or 3 days off, they in disarray. They just can't function. So in that motivation and that sense of control, what's your opinion of that in those type of situations when you have to control a set of people, well, maybe not control a set of people that way, but what happens if you control them so much that they can't function when you're gone?
Right. Well, this happens quite often in organizations. In fact, leadership is one of the biggest problems in organizations. I just wrote an article about that I posted on my website site, Compete Outside the Box. Look under the free stuff page. And in there I talk about how leaders are sometimes, a lot of people think that leadership is common sense, because all the concepts that we teach in leadership and management are very simple concepts. But people often get it wrong because these concepts are not used alone. They're used in unique combinations depending on the situation, depending on the followers, and depending on the leader's personality. So getting back to your question, what's this relationship between control and motivation? In some situations, the leader has to have a lot of control. In the drill sergeant in the movie Full Metal Jacket, the drill sergeant has to have a lot of control, because otherwise these raw recruits are never going to become Marines. If you just say, "Hey, well, you know, let's wake up today at 4 in the morning and run 5 miles, and I think it would be a great idea if we would run everywhere we go and make everything neat," it would never happen. I mean, that's not going to happen, because he's got to take full control of it. There's got to be a shock. There's got to be a dramatic change. You were recruits, now you're soldiers. So in that context, it actually makes sense to behave in that fashion. Obviously, in a movie, he takes it to a little bit to an extreme, but in terms of the idea of having so much control to achieve the type of change that you want in their behavior and their thinking, it makes sense. And they're able to do it in a very short period of time. But in a work organization, you can have something similar where, let's say, I worked at several fast food restaurants when I was in high school. And in those types of situations, it's similar. You can't have this 16, 17-year-old kid deciding how to do his job, because he would probably goof off. There's not an inherent motivation to cook hamburgers or whatever I did. So you got to have somebody who's more controlling, not as extreme as a drill sergeant, obviously, but you got to have someone who's watching more. Now, when you get someone who's highly educated, knows how to do their job, is motivated to do their job, that controlling manager or leader is likely going to demotivate that person. The person's going to get frustrated. They're going to start feeling like they really can't do their job. Whatever I try to do, he takes over and he does it for me, or he doesn't let me do what I need to do. Something similar to this would be a very bureaucratic and hierarchical organization, which I also talk about in some of the articles in my book. So in my book and also on my webpage. So the book Compete Outside the Box talks about this very same thing, about how you can demotivate people by excessive control by way of bureaucracy.
Okay. In those, any other type of scenarios when you, of course, you have your drill sergeant, you have on the other end of the spectrum, you have those who are really not motivating, who expect you in one sense to be responsible to do your own, and they have this casual way or this lackluster way of doing stuff. On the opposite end, do you run and address those typical situations as well, when the manager is really relaxed but blows up at the end when it's not done? But is it like an undercode that he thinks in his mind he's motivating them? Hey, you're doing good. You know, things like that. Who's the opposite, who's not the really controlling person, but want to keep them motivated? How, with that particular personality on the opposite end, how can you get that manager to motivate him? Well, take his motivation that he feels in himself to transfer to the employees, which he's more of a casual type personality, low key personality, but he wants the job done.
Right. Well, there's one thing we got to realize is that some people are not meant to be leaders. That's mm-hmm. Some people say you can create leaders. I don't know. If you're not motivated to lead people, if you're not motivated to management, there's not much that anybody can do about it. It's got to come from the individual. However, if this person has the motivation but somehow has subscribed to political correctness to the extreme where he somehow believes it's not right to tell people what to do and stuff like that, then it could be the opposite type of situation. He winds up demotivating his employees because he does not support them. They need some support. They need some and also some leadership and direction. What are we supposed to do today? That's what he's supposed to provide direction, and he's supposed to provide support to these people in terms of training, funding, those types of things, et cetera. So if he's not doing that because he has a laissez-faire attitude, he has a everybody just do whatever they want attitude, and he could be just as demotivating to the folks. In other words, he's creating an environment that doesn't support people's motivation to come out. It suppresses their motivation, similar to what the drill sergeant does, but in the opposite way. So in that type of situation, you can either see, you can either make some kind of determination as to whether or not this person is fit to be a leader. If not, then you got to get rid of this person and have them do something else or leave the organization. Or if they are fit to be a leader, then it could be that some training can help that leader within come out. So those are the types of things that you can do. But one of the explanations is in that case is maybe that person is just does not have the motivation to be a leader. And this happens quite often where someone is good at their job, let's say it's a technical job, and then someone in the organization higher up says, well, let's promote this person and put him or her in charge of this group because he's so good at doing this particular job. Well, he's good at doing the job in a technical sense, or maybe this person's really creative, and then you say, okay, let's put him in. But he doesn't have any desire to be in charge of other people. He doesn't like telling people what to do. He doesn't like making managerial decisions as far as budgets, resources, who gets hired, who gets promoted. He doesn't like any of that stuff. He doesn't want to get involved in that. So he's not effective, and it affects the work team. So that could be a possibility as well. So making decisions as far as who you choose to be a leader and who's going to be motivated to be a leader are just as important as choosing who's going to be who you're going to hire to be on the team as a follower in terms of are they motivated to do the job. So in the book, I talk extensively about this, and you can find a link to the book on CompeteOutsideTheBox.com, my website. So there you'll find out, well, what are some of the things that you have to do to select people in a unique way? Because most organizations just select people based on education, experience, and then they hire people at the lowest possible cost. They pretty much choose people the worst way possible if you want to find people who are going to be self-motivated and creative.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a break real quick, and then we're going to kind of dive in a couple more topics on the on your article real quick, and we'll be back in the probably like in 40 seconds. Again,
okay.
Dr. Eric Romero. We'll be back in a moment.
All right.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquin.
We're back with Dr. Eric Romero, Compete Outside of the Box. I guess we'll go back to the three topics real quick and go with the tips at the very end. In your article, you wrote about motivation at work. Can you just highlight a couple of things in that section, and then we'll go to the next one?
What do you mean, motivate? What is your question?
Yeah,
again?
Motivators at work. Any type of things that you motivators at work? Is it prizes you should do or suggestions to do? Can you talk about the motivators at work?
Well, what I was talking about in that section of the article that you can find on my website is that a lot of people think that motivators are things like money, or they just talk about, well, we have a really motivated team, or we have a really motivated worker, and they don't really know what they're talking about in many cases, because you got to be real specific as to what people are motivated to do specifically. So you can say our team is really motivated to produce high quality product. So that means that they pay a lot of attention, and they do it on their own. They like to do this. They pay a lot of attention to detail and make sure that the product is high quality. That's what you want to be able to say. If you just say that they're motivated, that can mean a million things. A lot of people think motivated means happy. Oh, wow, they're real motivated. They're always so happy. They're always so friendly. They confuse any positive emotion with motivation, and that's not true. You can have people who are real happy and real friendly, and they're not motivated to do their job. They're motivated to socialize. So you got to be real specific when you talk about motivation. They're motivated to do what? Or this person is very motivated to do what? So obviously you want that person to be motivated to do the core task associated with that job. So here's a good example. Let's say you go to a store, and when you enter the store, there's a greeter. That person who's greeting you, the purpose to have that person is to make you feel welcome in the store, obviously. But how many times do you go to a store where there's no greeter? Or if there is a greeter, that person is not very friendly. So they've selected someone who's not particularly motivated to do that job, because they're not doing it. So it doesn't matter how much you pay that person, they're not going to be motivated. The pay will make you take the job, but it doesn't necessarily make you do the job well on a prolonged period of time. The thing that makes you do the job well, that motivates you to do the job well over a prolonged period of time, is that you're matched to it. So that's what I was talking about when I was discussing motivators at work, is that the thing that motivates you has to be the job itself. That's how you get people who are motivated to do a specific task. They are motivated to do it.
Okay. And then you went on to you can't motivate people. The premises behind you can't motivate people, you just talked about it just briefly. Can you go elaborate a little bit more on it?
Sure. Well, what I've experienced in many different contexts and what I've witnessed and seen people do, just beat their head against the wall, and also what is commonly taught in business school, is that a leader can motivate people. And I just don't believe that's true. I don't believe you can actually motivate people. What you can do is help people see how the job is connected to motivators that they already have. And the individual might not see that. So let's say that someone is very goal-oriented, but they don't see how this job is goal-oriented. They just see it as a boring job. So let's say we go back in time to when I was in high school and I had these jobs that were minimum wage, fast food jobs. And they're not inherently motivating. Nobody says, man, I really want to work at this place or that place, this fast food outlet. Nobody says that. So how do you get these students or these kids motivated? Usually that's what they are, they're kids. Well, oftentimes what they do is they create competition. So they'll create competition between a couple of people on the team or between different teams. And that gets them motivated because they're very competitive. 16, 17-year-old guys are very motivated inherently. So there's the motivation. They're motivated. You get them motivated to do the job because you bring out the competitive element of the job. You highlight that for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they just do it themselves. They want to find something interesting in the job themselves, and they somehow do that. So, for example, I had one job where I was a dishwasher. Dishwasher is not an inherently interesting job, but one of the things that I liked about it is I can make my own decisions. I was, for the most part, left alone to do the work because there's this pretty simple job. So I would joke around a lot with the other people I worked with, and that made it motivating for me. So I would joke mm-hmm. around while I did the job. There weren't any customers nearby, so that wasn't a problem. So that was how I motivated myself to do it. And somehow I like the idea of having all this big, huge pile of dishes, put it through the machine, and then everything's neat and orderly. So that, I actually got pleasure from that. Not a lot of pleasure, but somehow I felt like I accomplished something. So that goal-oriented motivator was activated, and also the humor, so the social connection, helped me. Now, what do a lot of organizations do? They discourage social interaction between workers. Oh, don't talk, no joking around, da-da-da, just focus on your work, that kind of a thing. So they actually mm-hmm. take away something that could make the job that's boring motivating for people because they can socialize while they do the job. So that's what those are some of the things that people inherently have in them, and obviously there are many others that they can have. So let's say in a creative job, someone has the motivation to be creative. That's something that's important for them. You want to have them in a job where they can do that, where they can be creative. That's motivating for them. You don't have to push people to be creative if they're already motivated to create. And that means you do not have to push, and you now support. You support people who love to do their job. That is how you want to be a leader. Obviously, it's not possible in all jobs. If you're working at a fast food place and you're a manager of that in that type of environment,
mm-hmm.
it's unlikely you're going to find people who are inherently motivated to cook and do really hard jobs for low pay. But you don't want to suppress these other things that could help them make their job more motivating, the social
sure.
connection, the sense of humor, the competition, that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm talking about in the article, is you can't motivate, but you can match, and you can also allow people to create the job, do things to make the job more motivating for them, so they're being motivated by something else that is associated with the job, the joking around, the social connection, the people around the job, that kind of a thing.
Okay. And matching employees to jobs, which is kind of, it's a science, but in one sense, you really don't know how well they're going to do in that particular position, but you're going on based of what paper they experienced from the past. How do you match the right employee to the right job?
Well, this is the meat of the article, because this is where I talk about how, and you can find this article on Compete Outside the Box, and you can find a link to my book as well, which goes into more detail of this concept. But here's where you have to take some risk. What a lot of organizations do, conventional organizations do, is that they hire people based on, okay, this person must have this much experience, they must have this much education, they must have this, they must have that. And oftentimes what you wind up doing is selecting people who might have a lot of experience, but maybe they're burnt out. They're not going to be motivated no matter how much you pay them. Or they have a lot of experience, or they have a lot of education, higher education, college degree and whatnot, but they don't necessarily have the motivation. They got that degree because they wanted to get a job so they can make money, but they don't really like the job. Think about a lot of people. I remember when I got my degree in accounting, they weren't crazy about accounting. They just wanted to have a steady job. So they're not necessarily motivated to do their job. I got a degree in accounting, and I've avoided getting jobs as an accountant because it's kind of boring to me. It's useful knowledge to have, but not necessarily an exciting job that I want to dedicate hours and hours to do. So you want to choose people who are naturally motivated to do a job, and oftentimes those people are not the ones who have the most experience, the most education. I talk about this extensively in the book, but also I talk about in the article briefly about that you want to use, you want to find people who are motivated to do the job, and you want to be able to find these people in an unconventional way. So sometimes you'll find people that you just meet in a social situation who you discover might be good at the jobs that you have available in your organization. Even though this person doesn't have any experience in that area or doesn't have any education in that area, oftentimes those people will surprise you and be more motivated than those who have the experience and the education that you typically demand. The other thing is you want to be able to know that person. You got to know the person real well, and you got to know what is required of that job. That's the prerequisite for you to make a good match. You got to know the person. Mm-hmm. You got to know what's required in the job. So to know the person, just doing the typical look at the resume, have a half-hour interview is not going to do it. You have to invest more time and do some innovative things, some different things beyond or instead of what's typically done that I just described, to get to know that person, to know the real person. So I talk about some of that in the article and also in the book, Compete Outside the Box. So do some different things and interview that person in an environment that they choose. Interview that person doing something that they love to do. Ask that person, why do you love to do this or that? That's where you start to get to know the real person. Interview that person, or not even interview that person, just observe that person doing their job. I'm sorry, not doing their job, doing something that they love. So it's before you actually hire that person. Yeah. So those are some of the ideas in a short amount of time that we can start thinking about is do something different. Don't do the same stuff that everybody else does to select people. The other part is really know the job. Really know that job. Either ask people who already do the job to say, how would you select someone for this job? So you have five people already doing that job. Maybe you have them select people. I want you to find some candidates. Why should you as a leader be the one who chooses people who are going to work with them? You make the final decision, right? But maybe you can have that. So, or also, you do the job for a while. There's the show, what is it, Undercover Boss, where the CEO of a company goes and he wants to find out what's going on in his company or something of that nature. So he does jobs. So now he has an idea of what is required and what kind of person would fit that job. So you have to know those two things. And then you want to know what are some of the things that is a natural motivator for the type of people that you hire. That's called intrinsic motivation. That's what's the natural motivator or the thing that naturally motivates these people. And within certain categories, you'll find that certain things motivate people more. So let's say high school teenage boys like what I was, 17, 16 years old, competition is probably going to be one of those things. Mm-hmm. And for older people in that type of environment, sometimes they hire retirees, people who are older, senior citizens. And for them, the competition might not be as important. But a social connection could be really important. For them, that's really important to be with other people their age and to be, and also to demonstrate that they can do something valuable. Because they're retired, now they don't have anything to do. They want to prove that they are still valuable people. So those could be things that would motivate them. So if you highlight that, if you do something to demonstrate that this job demonstrates that you're valuable, they will be motivated to do, more likely to be motivated to do that job. See? So those are some of the things that you can do besides just selecting people at the lowest cost and then expecting money to motivate them. Money does not motivate people to do their job. At best, it pushes them. It's kind of like the drill sergeant. But you're not yelling at them. You're saying, hey, if you do this job, I'll give you money. That's really like pushing people or pulling them towards doing something. As long as you pay them the money, they'll do it. But it's not really motivating them to do it. So,
but they're going to need the money in order to continue to be motivated.
Right. You need money to show up to work. I mean, you're not going to go to work for free. But to be motivated to do the job, you have to have that motive. There has to be a connection between what you do and what you're motivated to do, competition, social connection, something like that. So the money makes you take the job. It makes you show up every day. But it doesn't make you motivated to do the job. You're not going to be excited. You're not going to look forward to it just because you're making a lot of money. So one of the jobs where I made the most money and did the least work, I hated, despite the fact that I wasn't motivated to do the job because it was such a crappy environment. So the money didn't motivate me to do the work. It motivated me to come every day because otherwise I wouldn't get paid. It motivated me to take the job, but it didn't motivate me to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing in any job that you have people do.
Okay. Any last words you'd like to leave people with and how to contact you and also how to get your book?
Well, my book is available. The book is Compete Outside the Box. It's available on Amazon, Smashwords, mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, a whole bunch of different outlets. And you can get a link to my book on CompeteOutsideTheBox.com. The article that we've been discussing is available there. Also, a whole bunch of other free articles. The book goes into much greater detail into those
mm-hmm.
concepts and also is a comprehensive ordered presentation of the ideas with the purpose of being an unconventional leader who competes outside the box and helps organizations create an environment based on creativity, creativity, flexibility, and risk-taking, which leads to innovation, competitive advantage, and beating the competition. So that's what my book is about. It's about unconventional leadership and learning how to create an organization that beats the competition. The link to that book is on my website, CompeteOutsideTheBox.com. And I do consulting, public speaking, webinars, seminars. So those are the types of things that I help organizations and leaders do is become unconventional leaders. So that's some of the information about what I do and my website and the book.
Okay, and what's your website again, address?
CompeteOutsideTheBox.com.
Okay.
And
wow.
Like I said, I have a whole bunch of information on there, a couple of videos, and also some pretty interesting articles that are useful for people. They're written in a very simple, straightforward way that you can apply the concepts. Plenty of bullet points to help you to get you started on thinking of ideas to be unconventional, think outside the box, and think outside the box so you can compete outside the box.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming on again, and I really appreciate the time that you took to go through all the information on motivating your employees. Thank you. I appreciate
Great.
It. Okay.
I appreciate
Thanks again.
You having me. Yep. Bye.
Thanks. Take care. Again, it's been another production of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio, or you can get it from blog.applecapitalgroup. We ask that you write comments, I think, within iTunes, if you don't mind, or on Blog Talk Radio, prefer iTunes. How you like these series, anything that stands out to you on this message will be appreciated. Thank you for everybody for listening, and everybody have a great day. Again, Tim Jacquet with The Core Business Show.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.